We do not know when our last breath will be. None of us do. And aren't you glad that you don't know that? But we think about being pleasing in God's sight. I want you to think about what it means that when your life ends, what's left? What matters? And so, would you like it to be where people would remember you as a good person, a kind and gentle person, a loving person, maybe one who was a complainer, who was a naysayer, or who was one to always stir trouble? Or maybe you want people to remember you for being a diligent worker, a skillful worker with hands, a person who could be confided in, a great counselor, a person of great wisdom. Maybe those are some of the things that you would like for people to say about you. You know, we look over the course of this past week, and of course, you know, social media has its ups and downs, and I do use social media. But, you know, this past week, we've had a lot of people graduating, kids moving from elementary to middle school, and there's been awards day, and all of these parents get on social media, and they brag. And you can get mad at me for saying this, but all they want to do is brag and brag and brag about their children and what their children have accomplished. That's great. But what have their children accomplished? When we think about the lives of our children and what they're doing, we see that this is a big concern. We want our children to reach this great academic level, but very few mention anything about God. And that bothers me, because as I spoke last week, for our graduates that we had here, if it weren't for God, nothing that they had accomplished would be possible. God allows and permits all things. He's given these children the wisdom, the knowledge, the academic sense that they need to be successful. But when it's all said and done, I don't care how high you climb up the educational ladder, how high you climb up the successful corporate ladder, when it's all said and done, what really matters is how God sees you. And so the title of today's message is simple. I want to know, I'm straightforward. It's a straightforward question today. Are you walking with God? At the end of your life, will God be able to see you as being pleasing as he saw Enoch? Now, he's not going to rapture you away or take you away like he took Enoch. And we can be raptured through the taking of the church, but not like Enoch. We won't experience it the way Enoch experienced it. But Enoch was taken in the way he was taken. He was translated in a way that he was translated because he was found pleasing in the sight of God. And so I want you to think about today. Every day that God gives you, do you feel that God can look at you and say that he is pleased with the life that you're living? It's important. We need to give that thought every single day. We need to make sure that God is at the forefront of our lives. The first week of May, actually, I preached on recognizing God's will. And I felt that was important for us to look at. And I hope over the last 3 weeks that you've maybe been able to look back at your life and been able to now recognize more of what God has in store for you and how God can use you. I hope that over the last couple of weeks that you've been able to maybe grow spiritually in the truth and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've been able to mature. Whether you're young or whether you're old, we all are a work in progress. And so now that question today is simply this. If you've been able to recognize God's will, are you now able to apply God's will to your life? That's what's important. Is you can understand and know the Bible. You can understand and know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God the Father. But if you can't apply to your life what he's done for you, then there's no need to know it. So that's what I want us to be able to do. Be able to recognize God's will and then apply it. And the only way that you can apply God's will is to walk with God. That is the only way. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the criteria of what it takes to walk with God. It's a 10 list. It's going to be 10 things that we're going to go over today. And I want us to be able to apply these to our lives. And you may not be able to apply every one of them instantaneously. Because remember, it's a work in progress. As we discussed, though, in Genesis 5:21 and through 24, we know that Enoch was a man that walked with God until the Lord took him home. That's what's important. Enoch continually walked with God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to be so obsessed with Him that that is all we think about, that as we lead in our lives, that we are led by God. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation," listen to this, "before Enoch's translation, his testimony was simply this: God was pleased with the life that Enoch lived." Now think about that. We know that we displease our spouses or our friends, our co-workers, or we may oftentimes displease ourselves. And then, of course, we know that we displease God. But through your Christian walk, you can think about how you've served Him and how you've strived to serve Him. But you know through the course of your Christian walk that you have pleased God in some way. Don't ever think that. I know here lately it seems like I've really been kind of condemning on Sunday mornings and maybe have not been as uplifting as you would hope. But I'm going to be honest with you right now, and that's why I'm really telling you need to come and listen and study Revelation with us, because I'm going to let you know that God has really placed something on my heart lately, and it is a burden that I cannot get rid of. It's because I'm afraid that we come in contact with so many individual people who think they know God, who think they have a relationship with God, but they don't. And so it's a burden of mine because I don't want to fail you. I don't want to fail the people that I come in contact with. I want people to understand and know that there's only one way to escape the wrath and the judgment of God. And we're going to learn that together today. We're going to learn how we can walk the way Enoch walked, that we can be pleasing in God's sight in all that we do. And don't forget that Noah, also a descendant of Enoch, also experienced the same type of life. And we know that the Lord, when He took away the people in Noah's day, we know that in Genesis 5 it says, the Lord saw wickedness in man. It was great on the earth. And every intent of the man's heart was only evil continually. And so God had to do something. God was displeased that He had made man. God was disappointed that man had let Him down. He was so sorry that man had turned into an evil and corrupt individual or in lifestyle. And so therefore He had to do something about it. And we know what He did. He sent the flood to wipe away mankind. And He started brand new. Man was displeasing in the sight of God. And you look at America today, not the world in itself. Let's just focus here on America. Let's just focus here in Kershaw. So many displeasing things take place each and every day where if God chose to, He could wipe us out just like that, if He chose to. But we know that we serve a loving God, a gracious God, a God full of mercy. And every day that you have breath, He is continually giving you another opportunity to walk with Him. Every day that you have breath, this is afforded to you. Today we live in a very sinful world. Sin abounds. We see more sin, it seems, than we see good, kind-hearted people. And unfortunately, I think we live in a very spiritually dark world now. Our eyes, our minds are so spiritually blinded by what we see, we become desensitized to. I had that conversation with an individual this morning during breakfast. Unfortunately, I think we see so much heartache, we see so much evil, that we kind of begin to brush it off because we just see it so much. We become desensitized to it. We don't react to it any longer. But as Christians, we've got to be able to react to it. And what is the best way to react? It's to pray. That is our most vocal ammunition as a Christian, is to pray to God, asking for guidance and leadership when we face these types of spiritual darknesses, these spiritual warfares that are constantly going on right now, even within this room. There is spiritual conflict everywhere we go. As long as Satan's allowed to roam this earth, there's going to be spiritual conflict. So this morning, I want us to talk about those criteria for walking with God. But let me state this. For those of you all who walk with God daily now, but let's all be honest with ourselves, we all can increase our walk time with God. All of us, myself included. We can all make sure that we're walking a little more with God each and every day. So for us who have claimed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're on the right path. But maybe for some of you here today who have not boldly made that proclamation, maybe you've made it from sitting at your pew, or maybe you've made a proclamation at home, but you haven't stepped forth and stepped out of that comfort zone to let everyone else know that you're a born-again believer in God, that is the first thing that you have to do. So that's criteria number one. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the first thing you got to do. You do that, then you're on the path of righteousness. This is the first and most essential requirement that you or anyone must do. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And there is no other way unto the Father except by coming unto me, being Jesus. There's no other way. Once you believe in Him and you've received Him and you begin to develop a personal relationship, you are on your way to walking with God. Second thing, this is a hard one, but you got to learn to listen to Him. Not listen to Him, you've got to learn to listen to Him. So that means you got to train yourself. That means you've got to be constantly in His Word, day in and day out, constantly speaking with Him, praying with Him, talking with Him. You got to learn to listen to the voice of God. And sometimes that means that you need to learn and listen by doing what? Being quiet. Just being still and knowing that He is God. So when we're able to learn to listen, we can then receive instruction. We can then receive guidance from God. I can think about my own life and how many times I've tried to speak to God when I need to be still, and I've probably missed out on some grand instruction, some grand direction. Now He'll make it up to you. But think about all the times that you've missed out because of stubbornness, because of not willing to relinquish full control to God. And what better way, or whom better to grab wisdom from and to grab direction from than God the Father, the creator of wisdom, the creator of spiritual knowledge. The third criteria is that we must trust Him. I spoke on this last week, and I talked about Proverbs verses 5 and 6 where we read together, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And so in all of your ways, you must acknowledge Him. And when you acknowledge Him, He will make your paths straight. It's very difficult for us to relinquish, once again, the fact that we're not in full control. You're not in control. God is in control, no matter what you do in life. If we don't trust the Lord, we're not going to be able to follow Him. You may think that you're following God, but if you're not willing to trust, if you're not trusting 100, not 99%, not 99.9%, you've got to trust Him with 100% of your life. We must remember that we cannot fully understand God's way on this side of heaven. Isn't that something that you would like? Wouldn't you all like to ask Him a few questions while you're here on this side that He could explain? Of God, why does this take place and why does this happen? We have to grasp and know that we're not going to know on this side of heaven, that His ways are higher than our ways. His understandings are greater than our understandings. But what God wants us to be able to do is to always trust and obey His word, to lean upon Him, not to lean upon self. Our fourth criteria is this one. It's that we should agree with God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever disagreed with God? Sure you have. All of us have. I imagine some of you may have had a disagreement with God this morning. Maybe right now you're having a disagreement with God. It's very common to disagree with God. But in order to walk with Him faithfully, He wants us to agree with Him. And let me explain what I mean by that. When we disagree with His direction, what that means is we think we know more than God. If you disagree with God, you're saying that, well, you're putting yourself here, and then here's God. And we know that cannot be. We foolishly or ignorantly, and I would even use the word arrogantly, we would try to make things work out on our own volitions, and that cannot be. God's word tells us to follow him, not use our own understandings, not to use our own knowledge. Remember that God alone, he's omniscient, that God is omnipotent, and that God is omnipresent. And so therefore we should take solace in those three descriptor words of who God is and know that everything's going to be okay, but we've got to be able to relinquish. Remember that word. It always comes back to humility. It always comes back to being able to willfully submit yourself, your all, to God. Not to anyone else, but to God. Fifth, we must obey. Trust and obey. But we must obey the Lord. The Lord requires that we do what he says, when he says, and how he says to do it. But here's the thing that normally gets us is that we may want to obey God, and we may want to follow his will for our lives, but we don't understand. We don't fully know which path to take, or we don't fully understand how it's going to unfold. But God does. That's okay. God is there with you. Are you there with him? Are you willing to walk with him, hand in hand? And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And what does he do? He tells you that you are his very own. The sixth thing is we must walk in the same direction that God walks. This also is very important. We know that we cannot walk the opposite way of God. Who does that remind you of that we studied early in the fall? Who was an individual that walked away from God and he kept finding a way back because God is the one who's in control? We talked about Jonah. Isn't that what Jonah was doing? He was doing everything he could to go the opposite direction of God's will. And he paid for it. He could have lost his life for it. But that was not God's design for Jonah at that time. So we've got to walk in the same direction as God. And the reason why is because anyone who's here today, you think about you, the ones who are going to partake of VBS in any capacity, whether you're teaching, assisting, facilitating in the kitchen, doing whatever, technology, whatever aspect of Vacation Bible School. Each one of you have a uniquely designed plan for that week. You may not know it yet, but God's got a special, uniquely designed plan for every one of you. From craft to recreation, God's got something for you. From the nursery to the adults, God has something for you. And the good thing about it is that that's just really going to be for the Vacation Bible Week, Vacation Bible School. The very next week, God will have another unique design and plan for you. But you've got to be willing to adhere to, you've got to be willing to walk with him so that you can recognize his unique plan for your life. There's only one way as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's way. And that is always going to be the right way. Whether you agree with it or not, God's way is always the right way. But what this may mean, though, walking in the same direction with God, is it may mean that you may have to change your lifestyle. It may mean you have to change whom you hang out with, some of the things that you participate in. You may have to cut ties with friends. And that may be devastating at first. But if they're hindering you from walking in the direction that God needs you to walk in, who should you try to please? Friend or God? Flesh or the Spirit? It may be difficult to swallow at first to know that you may have to break ties with individuals, but if you really want to please God, then that's what you've got to do. You'll be rewarded in the long run for this. The seventh criteria, we must stay in step with the Lord. So if you're walking in the same direction as God, I think it will be much easier for you to stay in step with God. Or maybe let's use the word to be in tune with God. The idea is to walk together in the same direction at the same pace. You don't want to be out in front of God. You want to walk hand in hand with him. Some of you may be fast walkers. Or some of you may kind of walk with your head down and you just kind of wanting to be led, but not wanting to be led. But if you're going to walk with God, you've got to hold his hand, he's going to hold yours, and you're going to walk side by side, step by step, in tune one with another. You being in tune with the will of God. Oftentimes we lag behind or become very impatient, or we may get ahead of God. And when we get get ahead of God, then we're going to now not use our dependency on God, but we're going to use our own understandings and our own wills. And then that's not going to work. This is why I encourage you to make sure that Scripture and that prayer is a part of your daily life each and every day, because when you're hiding God's Word within your heart, you will be able to use it through the course of the day. You will constantly be reminded of how good God is, and that you will stay in step with the Lord, that you will not be deterred to walk with the flesh, because God's Word has been hidden within your heart. As we read the Word and listen to the Lord, we'll become receptive and sensitive to His leadership. And that's very important. Think about that for a moment. Do you feel that your heart is fully receptive and sensitive to what God has for your life? How many of you can say that right now? It's hard to think about. But we need to make sure that we're always willingly ready to be receptive and sensitive to what God has in store for us. The eighth criteria, and I will say that the first one was given to be number one for a specific reason. All the others, you can interchange those orders. But the first one was a necessity to accept His saving grace, to allow Him to be your Lord and Savior of your life. But this next one is listed as number eight, but it could easily be number two if we were to rank them. We ought to love God. If we truly love the Lord, we will do what He says. You think about that for a moment. How guilty are we of saying, "Oh God, I love you"? But as soon as we walk out those doors, or that amen is uttered at the dismissal of prayer, we don't think about Him again until we come back the next time. Think about that. And that's very true. I used to be that way. I thought about Him on Sunday morning, occasionally on Sunday night, and very rarely would I think about Him on a Wednesday. But I'd think about Him again on Sunday morning. We got to love God. We got to love Him all the time. We've got to think about Him all the time. Reminds me of a song that when He was on the cross, where were we? On His mind. Amen. We got to think about Him. Number nine, this is a difficult one. We must forsake sin. In order to walk with God, we need a clean heart. Whenever we sin in thought, hear that word, in thought and action. And I'll be honest with you, I probably sin more in thought than I do in action. But when you put that thought into action, you're really doing a number on yourself. But we need to make sure that we have a pure heart through thought and through action. We must deal with the sin immediately. Turn away from it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity," or love, "peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." That's what we need, is a pure heart. That's what God wants. Furthermore, we should ask the Lord to reveal any sins in our lives that are causing us to stumble. That's one that you may not be willing to do. You may not be willing to give up a particular sin right now because you're having fun with it, because you're enjoying it. Well, that's okay for a while, but it's going to catch up with you. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. We must flee from it so we can forsake the sin and we continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can continue to enjoy the blessings that He has for you on each and every day. Because by doing this, by enjoying God's blessings, you are also being obedient to His will, because He's blessing you because of your obedience. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment." Listen. Every work into judgment, whether it's in secret, whether it be good, or whether it be evil. God knows He is going to judge. Number 10, our last criteria. We must pursue a life of holiness. This isn't a perfect life. You're not going to obtain a perfect life. Not on this side of heaven. But until God allows you to see Him face to face, He wants you to be in pursuit of a holy life, a holy calling. In order to do this, you've got to surrender. You've got to be fully committed to God and God alone. I look at some of you younger children here today and some of our youth who are here today, and I hope that's the one thing that you all can learn on any given Sunday from God's Word that I proclaim to you all, is that God wants you to give Him everything. And if you can learn at a young age to give Him everything, it will make your adult life a little smoother. You have a greater foundation and understanding and knowing that it's through God's will that you've been allowed to do and to obtain all that you have at this current juncture in your life. So make sure that you make time daily to walk with God, that you're spending time in His Word, that you're spending time in communication with God. When we pursue holiness, we will be quick to confess and turn from sin. It should be your ultimate desire. You should have a conviction on your heart like no other. And I know all of you have been convicted at least once in your life. Some of you may be going through conviction right now, and I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going through any heavy convictions right now, but I can recall a time in my life when God was convicting me, and I'm going to tell you, it was no fun at all. It hurt. I was miserable because I was under His conviction. But praise God, convicted me. Glory to God that He kept His Holy Spirit moving and working within my heart to allow me to realize that I needed to make myself pure again. That I needed to make myself closer to the One who makes life possible. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just to forgive our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know I gave you a lot of information. I don't typically give 10 bullet points. But I felt that these were imperative criteria that we should strive to try to meet. And so I'll ask you these questions briefly. If you can recall some of those today, are you true to some of those criteria? Maybe you're true to all 10. But maybe you're only true to one or two right now. What must you do to try to meet those criteria, those standards that God has set forth for you, for your advantage, for your benefit, for a closer walk with God? We all could probably inspire to be much more consistent in our daily walk with God. From an exercise standpoint, you know, doctors may tell you you need 30 minutes of exercise a day, at least 3 to 5 days a week. That's all well and good to preserve your earthly body. But if you want to preserve your spiritual body, you need to spend every time that is provided to be with God, each and every day, 7 days a week. You should be thinking of God in all areas of your life. He cares about every area of your life. I know I stated this last week, but God cares. Smallest of things in your life to the grandest of things in your life, to the things that you think does not matter to anyone else, they matter to God. He wants to be a part of every decision that you make. Everything that you do, God wants to be at the focus of. So are you walking with God? What can inspire you to walk with God? I hope that His Word will. But maybe look around here today and you see an individual who's been a faithful steward of God's will at Sand Hill. Maybe you could strive to maybe be like them one day, as I asked you at the very beginning of this morning's message. When all of life is said and done and you draw that last breath and the people gather around to memorialize your life, will they be able to say above anything else, they walked with God? That they exemplified a godly lifestyle. Colossians 1 verses 10 and 11 reads, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. That is the only way you can experience true joy, is to walk with God. You can search, you can try everything man-made, but it will not satisfy. A straightforward question today, men and women, boys and girls. Are you walking with God? Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this glorious day. Father, I thank you for what you do in our lives each and every day. God, I thank you for always being attentive to our needs, God, our desires, even our wants, Father. But God, you know best. And so, Father, I pray today that every individual who sits here who is called upon your name for their saving grace, God, that they put you at the center of their will, and that you will always lead them and you will always guide them, God, that you walk hand in hand with them, God. Father, that they choose to be led by you. God, I pray that we walk with you daily. God, not when it's convenient. God, not just through difficult trials and tribulation of life. But Father, I pray that we walk with you daily. That we experience your goodness. And God, not only do we experience it, but we tell others about it. That we tell others that there is a better way. That we do have great hope for tomorrow because of your faithfulness, God. Being the sovereign Lord that you are. Lord, we love you so much and we praise you. I do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, this beautiful sanctuary that you provide for us to come and worship. But God, I thank you for these beautiful individuals who sit here today. But God, on the same side of that coin that we flip in regards to salvation, God, it's not a heads or it's not a tails. It's either we are with you, Father, or we're against you. And so, God, if one individual sits here today and they're battling an issue, God, they're fighting head-to-head with Satan himself, the prince of this world, Father, I pray that your sweet, loving Holy Spirit wins out immediately and that that individual can be secured in your loving arms right now, Father. May your sweet, loving Spirit continually rain down upon us. And may everything we do bring honor and bring glory to your precious name. Father, we love you, O God, and we praise you. And I thank you for this glorious day. In your name I do pray. Amen.